think God has a sense of humor. Do y'all think that? Because when someone says, "You will never, ever, ever, ever see me in the pulpit preaching the Word of God," and then guess what happens? That pull becomes so strong that you just can't avoid it anymore. And you have to submit to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is saying. So I say all of that because the Lord has given my wife, Nikki, a word to share with us today. And if you didn't guess it, she was the person that said, "You will never, ever, ever see me up there. I'll never get up there. I'll never do it. Don't ask me because I'm going to tell you no. I'm not going to do it." Well, you can tell me no all you want, but try to tell him no, and then we'll see what happens. But I just want to share how blessed it makes me to know that she has stepped out in faith, I believe, to share a word today. And I know you're going to draw on the anointing that's in her. And she may be nervous right now while I'm talking about her. But once she gets up here, I believe the anointing is going to flow. And y'all are going to draw on that. And there's an expectation that's going to pull up from the depths of inside of her. The word is going to draw that word out of her. And blessing is going to flow in this place because she was obedient. And she is stepping out in faith to bring forth a word today. And I'm so grateful. And I'm so blessed and I'm so honored to be called her husband and to share this journey called life with her. So I'm buttering up real good, real good. She's going to step up here and just stop, stop. So, no further ado, my wife, your co-pastor today.
No, oh yeah.
Welcome, Nikki. You've got it.
Am I turned on?
Yes.
Yay, at least I didn't have to hold the mic. That part is what I really don't like, is having to hold on to a mic. And yes, I am nervous, but I can't tell if it's nerves more than, like he said, the Holy Spirit in me has really been working on me all week. In fact, when I told him, I think I told you last Sunday after church that I had a word, his mouth went all the way down. I was like, "You can close your mouth now, okay?" I know, you never thought you'd see the day, and, you know, I never thought we'd move back to Florida, and we did that too, and you said you'd never do that, so. You know what, when God says,
right, we do,
we don't have much choice. Plus, I haven't slept pretty much all week long, so I am ready for a good nap after church today. I'm ready to sleep again for sure, so. I am going to leave my youth and kids in here today because I usually am only in the back teaching kids and youth, so I needed them. I needed their familiar faces today so that I could be more confident and probably going to look at all of them all day long too. But I did feel like it was a good time for me to envision everybody as young again. So today, all of you guys are young kids, and I'm going to envision you as kids today. Your youth is renewed as of today, okay? So I'm just going to pretend you are all kids so that I can get through this, okay? So, thank you. I can sit down now, right? I'm done. Yeah. So I haven't got up here in a long time. I think the last time I spoke was at Brian and Kate Kingery's church when we were in Roanoke. And I was speaking there one time. I don't remember what it was about, but I had a piece of gum in my mouth. Because I always sing with gum, or I always talk. I like to have gum. Well, that particular Sunday, I was over here talking, and my gum went flying to the person on the front row. And his name was Johnny. He jumped to avoid my gum. I was so embarrassed. I have never gotten back up and done this again since. So I literally just spit my gum out, and Kenna asked me, she said, "Do you want a piece of gum?" I was like, "No." So I will stay back here, and I don't have gum in my mouth today, so we should be good to go. Again, this has been stirring on me all week long, and so I have felt like every day it's been kind of adding to my notes. I really don't know how to preach. And I was like, Todd, how many pages do you normally have? You know, I was like, I don't know if this is long enough, it's too short, or anything. And I was like, how do you even put this in, like, your thoughts? So bear with me as I try to kind of jump back and forth, because obviously I've never done this before. So, but the thing that came up with me over, it's probably been a couple weeks, me and Mom have talked about this, is I think it was the last time Reggie spoke. He was talking about a monkey. I think this was Reggie. I could be wrong. I could have heard it from someone else. But he's talking about a monkey who's in a cage, and he's hanging on to the banana, and there's danger behind him, and he's still hanging on to that banana. He doesn't see what's going on behind him. And the Lord, ever since then, I believe Reggie said, don't take the bait. And I believe that has rang true for me for a couple weeks now. Me and Mom always, we'll talk about something, we're like, we're not taking the bait. Don't take the bait. So that's kind of what's been brewing in me over the last few weeks, is we as Christians are taking the bait. And we're being baited. And we have got to recognize it. We're going to drop the banana, okay? And we're going to turn around and not take that bait anymore. So that's what's been brewing. So I'm just going to go over a little bit about that, but just envision that monkey hanging on to that banana. We're going to let the banana go. We have to. We don't have a choice anymore. So I just believe we're being baited. We may not see it. It's a spiritual war that we're fighting, but it's happening. We have to guard ourselves, our thoughts, our emotions. The devil is obviously rampant today. We can see that. We can turn on the news and see who's ruling right now. And we have to, one, guard ourselves, guard our thoughts. I mean, we talk to the kids in the back about your ear gates, your eye gates. Are we doing that as Christians? I don't know. I'm not sure, because I'm not seeing too many Christians right now on the news. I'm only seeing other stuff. So where are we? You know, I believe we are holding on to that banana. And we're avoiding what's going on behind us, which means we took the bait. So for instance, me doing this, as soon as I said I was going to do this, I have been attacked all week long. I mean, I really had a tough week. In fact, yesterday, I'm pretty sure it was yesterday, last night, he kept saying, you're not worthy. You shouldn't be doing this. What are you doing? My mind has been in turmoil all week. And I had to tell myself over and over again, I'm not taking that bait. I am tired of him dictating who I am, what I am, and I'm tired of him dictating my worth. And I think we all need to get to that point where we see it for what it is. I mean, it would have been easy for me last night to say, Todd, nope, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get up there. Because the devil was in my thoughts. He was in my head. And that's, he doesn't belong there. He does not belong there. So it's just been a hard week trying to get through this. I put all this down on paper on Monday. I know, at work, sorry if any of my coworkers are watching. But I had to get it down, okay. And then all week long, I have had just craziness. And I'm just like, Lord, I know this is of you. Because at this point, the devil is trying to keep me from doing it. So, and I'm taking that and running with it and saying, I am worthy. I am enough. And even if I stand up here and preach to myself, no, well, I'll preach to myself. Sometimes we got to do that, right? We got to preach to ourselves. So maybe this is just for me. I don't know. let's see. So I'm tired. I'm just saying I'm tired of him tormenting my mind. And so should you guys. We are being tormented. I believe we can turn on the news. We can walk outside. Anywhere we go, we're being tormented. Our minds are being tormented. Wow, thank you, Lord. Wow. Yesterday I was in a store. Okay, woo. I was in a store yesterday, and I saw so many people with masks on. And at that moment, he quickened me, saying, they're taking our identity as well. We're losing our identity. We can't even smile at people anymore. We can't, we can barely have conversations. We're so withdrawn in ourselves now. And that is not what God intended for us. And I'm not going to, I'm just getting mad. I told Mom, I was like, I'm getting a self-righteous anger about me. Then I told her I was going to preach. She goes, oh, Nikki. She's seen me get mad a few times. She's like, oh, Nikki, make sure you're okay when you get up there. So I think I said that on Monday, and she was like, oh, no. But I am. I'm getting mad. I'm getting an anger about me, and we all need to be getting mad. We need to take back what is being stole from us. We need to take back our identity and our self-worth and stop taking the bait. I'm going to say that quite a bit during this whole time is don't take the bait. And if you take anything else home from you today, if you have to say that to yourself over and over again, don't take the bait, don't take the bait, do it. You know, because we have to get it through to our heart. He's going to attack us, but we have to say, I am not taking that bait. A coworker upsets me, I'm not going to react. I'm not going to take the bait. We are not going to do this any longer. We have to get angry. A righteous anger, Mom. Not the redneck anger, which I probably am getting a little bit, but this is nerves, okay? But I am turning into a little bit of a redneck. Probably a little bit of a hot flash as well. That's for some of you other ladies in here would understand. So, man, because I can feel it. It's coming. So, I know you guys know. So, it's a brewing. I can feel it. So, I was like, make sure it's cold in here so that it don't spike one of these things. But it's going to happen. So, men, I don't even want to hear it. You guys have it way too easy. I'm done with all y'all. So, all you men, I'm done. I'm done. You have no idea. So, well, anyway, I'm going to start with a confession because I always kind of like to kind of tell where I'm at. And this is a confession about what happened with Todd 3 years ago next month, right? So you probably all know, maybe some of you guys on the Facebook there don't know, but he had a brain bleed 3 years ago. And I have hid my emotions for 3 years. I have hid fear. I've hid depression, oppression. I have done everything I can to make sure my children don't feel it, don't see the difference in Todd. I mean, he's just been a little different. It affected his personality a little bit. And some days I would look at him and it break my heart and it would send me spiraling down. I've lived with it and held it in for 3 years. I just now have opened up and talked to him about it. There were moments where he wouldn't answer his phone. And I was tormented in my mind saying something's wrong. I couldn't find him one day in the garage. He was out working on the car. I couldn't find him. I immediately envisioned him not there. I immediately envisioned him gone. And it has attacked me for 3 years. And I am tired of it. I am tired. I took the bait, is what happened. I took the bait. I let him in. I let him take over my mind. And I took the bait. And I'm getting mad, and I'm getting myself out of that. With God's grace, I am getting out of that. Because I'm tired of it. We've got to get to a point, guys, where we're tired of it. And we're getting angry. And that's where I'm at. I'm ready to move on. I'm not going to worry about when he don't answer his phone no more, because he never answers his phone anyway. If any of you ever call him, he ain't going to answer. So, just saying. But I'm not going to let my mind, I'm not going to let the enemy take over my mind another day. You know, I'm just going to say, oh, just Todd, he ain't going to answer his phone. I'm not going to envision him laying there not with me anymore. I'm not going to fear losing him anymore. I'm not. We are taking a stand today, and I'm hoping you all will get on board and take that stand with me. We're going to do it today. And that's what's been brewing in me all week is, it's time. It's time. Teresa, it's time. We've had this conversation before. We're not standing for it no more. We are not. So, I just, that's the first part I wanted to share is a little bit of confession. And then I want to go to another vision that came to me in my sleep. I think it was last weekend. I don't know. I haven't slept much. But the vision that came to me was, as Christians, I believe we are in timeout. We're standing with our nose in the corner, just like that monkey who wouldn't let go of that banana. We're standing in timeout, and we're avoiding what's going on behind us. And that's the vision that came to me was, all of us Christians, I wish I had a corner in here, but anyway, I mean, we're standing in timeout. I don't know if you ever put your kids in timeout. I wasn't put in timeout. I was spanked. Yeah. Thanks, Mom. But nowadays, yes, I got spankings. I wasn't always perfect. She thinks I'm perfect, right, Mom? But I'm envisioning, we used to have to stand with our nose in the corner, right? You've seen people in timeout, or, you know, put your kid in timeout. Maybe you believe in timeout. You put your kid in timeout, and they had to stand there with their nose in the corner. I believe that was the vision that came to me. Ooh, sorry. Was that we're standing in timeout. We're avoiding what's going on, and we're not seeing it for what it is. And again, that's part of what I'm trying to get across today is, it's time we turn around. We need to start fighting this battle that's going on around us. We're going to tear that. We're going to let the banana go, and we're going to turn around. And we are not going to hide anymore. We can't. We're here for a reason at this time. You know? So he needs us. But if we're hiding, or we're letting our mind be tormented by our own things going on, we can't minister to other people who need us. So we're turning around today. Okay? We are all turning around today. And we're getting on board with what God is ready for us to do. No, time is getting closer and closer and closer to the end. I don't personally like Revelation. I said Revelation. He hates when you say revelations. I am going to pick on Todd a lot today, too, by the way, because I have sat there for how many years and been tormented by him for... He has used me in his sermons for 10 years, probably. So it's my turn. So I did have a few things. It's Todd's turn today. I won't use my kids, but Todd's getting it today. So let's start with, I'm going to go to Proverbs 17:22. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. We're going to go to a book that I've been reading. I'm doing a little Bible study with some of the girls in here. And we're reading this book. I probably should give her credit since it is on. We're doing Reclaiming Your Heart, Denise Hildreth Jones. And today, this week, I don't remember, we were reading. I Snapchatted the girls, and I was like, Well, if I didn't need confirmation that I have to get up here, it was actually in our chapter we were supposed to read for the week. So I got confirmation of the fact that you need to get up, Nikki, and do this. So this was in my weekly read, if you will. So I'm going to just read straight from this book because I don't feel like I can say it any better than this did. And so I'm going to just read it straight out of here. Let's see. So we're going to go back to the beginning. I'm going to take this thing back to Genesis, and we're going to start from the beginning. So in Genesis 3, you can read it along if you want to, but and bear with me while I try just to read through this little excerpt here, okay? How exactly does the enemy do all this? He has many tactics, but his favorite weapon is lying. He is a consummate liar, a master of deception. In fact, Jesus called him the father of lies. And what he loves most to lie about is God. And that's where he's getting us. He's lying to our head. It's been that way from the beginning. In fact, the same lies that assail our hearts today, shutting them down, closing them off, are the ones that wreck the story of the first man and woman and still assail our hearts today. Look at the way it happened in Genesis. That's what I'm saying. We're going to take it back to the beginning because his tactics haven't changed. He did it in Genesis. The tactics are the same. So we just need to see it for what it is. So in Genesis 3, the serpent, I know you guys all know this story. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit of any trees in the garden?" "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees of the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the middle tree we are not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die." "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." Man, can we see that? He went right to her thoughts. The woman was convinced. What's he convincing us, guys? What is he convincing us about? That we're not worthy, we're not good enough. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So we know they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool breeze came in the evening, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking into the garden. So they hid. And the Lord said, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." This is the vision, too, that came to me. We're hiding in time out. "Who told you that you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree? Have you entertained those thoughts? Whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman." I had to emphasize that. It was the woman you gave me. "She gave me the fruit and I ate it." Then the Lord God asked the woman, "What have you done?" "The serpent deceived me," she replied. "That's why I ate it." Who deceived her? Yeah. What's happening today? We can turn on the news and see that. What's happening in your mind? We're being deceived. Do you see it? This is where it all began. The very first time the enemy employed his favorite tactic against human hearts. It begins subtly when he slithered up to Eve with a whisper, "Did God really say?" Then in the next instant, he moved from subtle innuendos to blatant falsehoods. Give him an inch, he's going to take a big old chunk. Okay. you won't die. The battle line for our hearts was drawn that day. And the war has been raging ever since. In our hearts, in our minds. Because if he can do that, he can shut us down with worry or fear or anger or shame. Guys, we got to get mad. We got to stop giving him an inch. He's trying to destroy us. Whenever we fall for Satan's lies about our God, our hearts become exceptionally unprotected and vulnerable. We don't want to be shut down. The whole economy just got shut down. It was pretty easy too, I would say. But what's happening to our hearts? Are our hearts being shut down? Are our minds being shut down? Are we allowing it? And we fall for it more often than we like to admit. In fact, every shutdown place of our heart is based on one or more lies that we have chosen to believe. What lies are we choosing to believe? It's a choice. It's a choice. Are we taking the bait? I'm not anymore. If I have to tell myself that 20 times a day, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not taking the bait. I'm not letting it take root. I don't know what you guys might be carrying around. You know, yours may not be as what mine is with Todd. And yours may be a marriage that's suffering. You may have a wayward child that you're carrying around. But what are we allowing him to attack us with in our mind? We have to choose to not take the bait any longer. So let me go to Proverbs 12:25. My Bible. Oh, I wrote here. I'm trying to get brownie points with Todd, so we're going to go to Proverbs a little bit. Yeah. We're all supposed to be reading Proverbs at home, a chapter a day, right, Todd?
Right.
So I was working on a couple brownie points because I am going to dog him this whole time. So I have to build him back up. All right, so Proverbs 12:25 says, I'm reading in the Amplified, Tim, if you want to put that up there. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down. But an encouraging word makes it glad. Our hearts are being weighed down with anxiety, especially right now. I actually have never even heard that scripture before, but it came to me this week, and I was like, what? Well, okay, here. Yeah. Thank you for making me read Proverbs. But I'm just going to, one more time. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down. Our hearts are heavy. Our hearts are heavy. What are we carrying about on a regular basis? Every day. What are we carrying around? What's weighing us down? That's the devil's tactics. And we're allowing it. We're allowing it. I allowed it. I allowed it for 3 years. Which is why I'm mad. I know better. I do know better. So even if this message I said was just for me, it's because I know better. But I allowed it. So maybe there's others of you who are allowing something too. Oppression, depression, trouble marriages. Who knows? Corona. Maybe that's weighing you down. It's It's everywhere. So you can't avoid it. So that's my question, is what are we allowing to weigh us down? Are we going to keep taking the bait? Let's go to Proverbs 17:22. A happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Don't even need to expound on that one. It's pretty self-explanatory. We've got to get our joy back. However, we got to get our joy back. Get it back. Get in battle and fight for your joy back. Okay? We got to laugh again. I think you said it a couple days ago. You're like, I haven't heard you belly laugh in a while. And it's true. I mean, really laugh. I haven't. Because I've let my mind be tormented. But not any longer. I'm going to laugh again. We all are going to laugh again. We're going to laugh in the devil's face for what he's done and doing. We're going to belly laugh in his face. We all know what John 10:10 says. You can turn there if you want. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. Anything that comes up that obviously isn't of God, it's the devil, right? We know this. I came that you may have and enjoy life, and have it in abundance, to the full, till it overflows. Is joy overflowing in anybody? I don't know. We got our backs again. We're still in time out. I want joy. I want to have life and enjoy life again. That's how we lead people to the Lord. They should want what we have and see it. But if we're tormented, that's all they're going to see. And we're no better than them if we're allowing those thoughts in our mind to take root. And it's time we had our joy back, no matter what is going on around us. We have to get our joy back. This is kind of for my kids. I told you I usually only speak to kids. So I had to throw this in there. We're going to go back to Sunday school just a little bit. And I'm going to give you the tools on how we fight this battle that we're in. So we're going to go to Ephesians 6, 10, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Man, my Bible is a real mess. If your Bible don't look like this, you better get in it a little bit more. I mean, this thing is duct taped about as much as it can possibly be duct taped. At least it's pretty duct tape, though. Except for this random piece in the middle. I can't even turn my pages. Okay. Chapter 6, verse 10. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy-armed soldier, which God supplies. He's our supply. That you may be able to successfully stand up against the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, but against the powers and against the rulers, the master spirits, who are the world rulers of this present darkness that we are in right now. Therefore, put on God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all you can do, the crisis demands to stand firmly in your place. Drop the banana. It's time we take a stand. Stand, therefore. Hold your ground. Get mad. Having tightened the belt of truth around your loins and having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and right standing with God, and having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with a firm footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. Lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith, upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. He's throwing missiles at us, people. And we just read who's throwing the missiles. If we're not suited up, it'll go right in there, and we're going to entertain it. Put on the armor. Put on your shield or your... Put it all on. Every day. That's how we fight this. And that's how we win. The enemy attacks our minds over and over and over again. It said that right here. Do we really believe the word? Do we? I just we were talking about that the other day. I said, if we really as Christians believe what we read in here, and we took it for real as the truth, we probably wouldn't be where we're at today. We've got to read it and let this take root. This is how we fight. And I know we all know this. But I think I was just supposed to remind you today. Remind you to put that armor on. Because our identity is being stolen. I believe that was just a word from God just right then. We're hiding in time out. So, and let's go a little deeper. Ephesians 6:12. I'm going to go back to that a second. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers of the rulers of darkness. Are we reading this? We're not fighting with our fellow brothers. We're not fighting with each other. This war is not against each other. It's not. I mean, I don't know if any of you all gets on Facebook, but there's some hateful things out there right now. And if we start attacking back on Facebook, that's not where the battle's won. It's not our brothers and sisters that we're fighting. So are we fighting our brothers and sisters in Christ? We shouldn't be. We should not be. They need Jesus. We need each other. I need you guys. We need you guys. We can't keep pulling away from everything and running and hiding. It's time we took a stand and we fought. but not each other, because we need each other. The devil wants us at odds with each other. I'm sure you can see that right now, even with this whole mask mandated thing. Man, if you don't wear a mask, you kind of get looked at ugly. If you wear a mask, you get looked at ugly. I mean, I'm being real. So we're fighting the battle with the wrong people. It's the enemy raging war. It says right there, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, the rulers of darkness. Not the people out there in the world. We got to stand against the enemy today. He wants us to fail. The devil wants us to fail. He wants division. He wants strife. And he's winning that right now, I believe. And that was another part of my vision that I woke up in the middle of the night, is that it's because we're hiding in time out. We're cowering instead of putting on that armor and get ready for war. We can see times getting closer and closer to the end. The war's raging around us. And it's time to take a stand for that. So, Tim, would you do Ephesians 4, 29 through 32 in the Message Bible? I fortunately don't know where my Message Bible is, and I can't read it on my little phone. I'll give you a minute while you... Okay, see? I timed this last night, okay? I'm just going to be honest. I did it all. I timed it. I flipped the pages, and it was only 25 minutes, and I was like, I ain't going to be long enough. Here I am, 11:15, and I'm still going. I'm only on page 2, y'all. Goodness gracious. Let me know when you got it there. Ephesians 4, 29. Wow, that's really little. Is that 12? That's not the right one. I really wanted it in the Message Bible because it brings it to light. Okay. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps. Each word is a gift. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, and profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. Man. Ouch! I just love the way that put that. I don't want to break God's heart. Not anymore. Today we're taking a stand, church. We need each other. We're not in battle with each other. We need each other. We need Peggy's hugs. If you haven't gotten a hug from Peggy ever, get one today. I look forward to Peggy's hugs. We need each other. We can't keep pulling away from each other. We can't back out. We can't. So Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. I feel like I better hurry up. Didn't expect that to happen. My kids in the back only give me like 10 minutes. Youth, maybe five because they got food. I get like 10 minutes of their attention. Are y'all awake out there? Are my youth and kids awake out there? I know, I've gone a little longer than you're used to. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. Strive to live in peace with everybody and pursue that consecration and holiness with which no one will ever see the Lord. Exercise foresight and be on the watch to look after one another, to see that no one falls back from and fails to secure God's grace, His unmerited favor and spiritual blessing, in order that no root or bitter or resentment shoots forth and causes trouble and bitter torment, and the many become contaminated. Pretty much says we need each other, doesn't it? We gotta watch each other's back. Yeah. We gotta watch each other's back. Real quick, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. How are you stirring up your fellow Christians right now? We should be studying each other to know what's going on in each other's lives. That's what we need. That's how we fight this battle with each other. But if we're not here, we're not reaching out weekly, daily to somebody. We got to reach out. It's easy to stay home. So not forsaking, this is 25, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together, as is in the habit of some people, especially right now. Dude, it's easy to stay home. I ain't gonna lie, I kind of like staying home. I liked watching Todd on the screen. I mean, this is hard to get up and get clothes on and come out of the house. And it's a fight some mornings to get here on Sunday mornings. What does that tell you? He don't want you here. He don't want us to come here. If it's a fight to do it, just like me getting up here, if I had to fight all week long, He didn't want me to do it. It's all the more reason to do it. Amen. Get there. Amen. Get here. Yeah. Call somebody. If they come to your mind, call them. Text them. I don't care. You don't have to talk to them. Text them. All the more as the day is approaching. The end of time is approaching. Don't let this devil steal your anointing any longer. If he's telling you to do something, don't let him steal it another day.